Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Before we get into our monologue today, I want to announce to you that our new book, The Coming Antichrist, is on the shelf, and we'll be having a special book signing immediately following the services on Sunday morning at First Conservative Baptist Church. It's a 7-chapter, 144-page book with the biblical analysis of the coming Antichrist. There's not anything like it in print today, where it gives an overview of strictly what does the Scripture say about that man of sin, the Antichrist, one that is called the Beast of Revelation chapter 13. May I invite you to come and join with us for worship on Sunday morning, and then stay for the book signing of the coming Antichrist. Ladies and gentlemen, as we get into the monologue today, let me just simply say this. I believe our nation is in a state of shock, grief, and mourning, as it should be, as a result of the massacre of some 17 students and teachers, with some 12 to 15 injured, several of them still in grave condition in hospitals in South Florida. I believe it is appropriate that we pray for the families of those that have lost loved ones, asking God to give comfort, peace, strength, encouragement, and hope as they face each new day with their lost loved ones. The school had over 3,000 students and only one security guard. I don't know what door the security guard was posted at. The armed gunman, Nicholas Cruz, 19 years old, with an AR-15 rifle, goes in and massacres 17 students, and others may yet die as a result of the injuries. Remember, the Scripture says, ladies and gentlemen, in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we are faced with a wicked, wicked, wicked society in which we live. What are we going to do about things like this as a nation? What should be our response to this act of violence? Should we reexamine our security policies for schools, realizing that schools, just as churches, are considered gun-free zones, soft targets, sitting ducks, as I call it? Let me just recap for us in our monologue today what we do know. What we do know is that Nicholas Cruz is a 19-year-old young man. He was expelled from the same school in 2016 for a fight with his girlfriend because of their breaking up. He bought the AR-15 legally, ladies and gentlemen. He followed the law. He bought the AR-15 legally. He was considered by his peers at school as being weird, lonely, few, if any, friends. This is from testimonies of those they've interviewed. He always talked about guns and knives and hunting, it is purportedly said. He entered the school, pulled the fire alarms, causing everyone to rush to the hallways. And as they rushed into the hallways, he summarily shot them. Cruz was adopted by Linda and Roger Cruz after the couple moved from Long Island, New York, to South Florida. This is what we do know. His adopted mother died November of 2017. His adopted father had already died earlier. Nicholas lived with a friend some 30 miles from the school. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today on Let's Face the Issues is Florida State Representative Jay Phan. Jay, welcome to our broadcast today.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. It's a sorrowful day.
Our hearts are burdened, Jay. I don't know. I know you have children. We have 4 sons, 10 grandkids. And my heart breaks with the realization that this could happen in any school, any community, any state across America today. And it's heartbreaking to realize that we in our school system simply are placing our students there for an education. And yet, as I call it, they're simply in gun-free zones where they become sitting ducks. Jay, I'm concerned about where we go from here as a nation. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if I can say this early on, you can join us in this broadcast today by calling 401-1413. If you're out of the area code, it's 904-401-1413. Join in this dialogue and discussion. We're talking with Florida State Representative Jay Fant. He is also a candidate for the Attorney General's office, and we'll talk more about that a little later. But Jay, I know you as well as all of us are saddened by this tragedy. Knowing what we do know, knowing what has come to the forefront through law enforcement and the investigatory process at this point, would there be any possibility, Jay, that this could have been avoided if there'd been just one more law on the book, one more restriction of our Second Amendment rights on the books? Could that have stopped this?
Dr. Youngblood, it's sadly an expectation in our media culture now that when a crime like this occurs, for the liberal wing of politics to suggest that restrictions on our right to bear arms would have solved it. In fact, I will share with you, the very first moment I walked into the Capitol this morning, the Miami Herald put a microphone in my face and suggested that this is evidence that it is time now for all to eliminate a certain class of weapons. You know me, Dr. Youngblood. I very quickly shared that the criminal element doesn't care how they access firearms, but if you want to punish law-abiding citizens by restricting their right to bear arms, we're only going to see more senseless violence. So while this is a time of prayer and support for those grieving, and I'm grieving, I'm telling you, my heart is heavy. The race to this fallacious gun control theme is tiresome, it's false, and what we have to remember, as you asked, where does this country go? It's to, as you know, Dr. Youngblood and your listeners know, we have to turn to God, and we have to turn to the family model that God intended for us to strengthen ourselves and to understand how to make sure that especially young people have secure homes, biblically based upbringings.
Amen. Yes.
And when all else fails, a system of government and justice that protects the vulnerable. And if I see one more gun-free zone sign in a hospital or a school, I'm going to just personally take it down, march to the head administrator, and say, you are creating an advertisement for criminal mischief here, and don't be part of the problem.
Yes. In fact, Jay, it's fascinating, but I watched the fake news broadcast this morning on CNN, and they were interviewing someone as their guest that supposedly was a professional and an expert on Russian law. And he was espousing the fact that in Russia, they have banned all guns. In Russia, it is a gun-free zone, generally speaking, for all citizens. But yet even he admitted that in Russia, they're having now a major, major outbreak of stabbings with knives in schools. Mm-hmm. So the point is, even without weapons, i.e. guns, in that fashion, that they're still having the problem from the heart of wicked people that will kill others with any weapon in their hands. And just as you said, Jay, I'm in full agreement, because I find it ironic. I find it sad. I find it absolutely despicable that in our nation today, we banned the Bible from the classrooms. We banned prayer from classrooms. Many schools have already banned the Pledge of Allegiance from classrooms. Literally, God has been kicked out of our schools. So why should we expect our kids to live civil lives? Banning guns will not change the heart of wicked people. And wicked people are wicked because God has been left out.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. Wickedness certainly thrives in the absence of the Lord's presence and model, and also depression, suicide, of which are both categories way up in, for young people in the school system. Violence, depression, and suicide. And in a sanitized culture where students are intimidated to not reference their biblical beliefs or their family beliefs in Christ, then where do they turn? And there's a big emptiness out there. And I'm afraid that that emptiness leads to ultimate, as you say, these problems of the heart. We as Christians can do something about this. We as government officials can do something about this. You and I both know, and I believe your listeners are savvy to this as well, that the notion that the church is to be completely separated from the state is a falsehood and a corruption of a letter that Jefferson wrote to the church. And what we have to keep in mind is that we must be the light today, especially for the Stoneman Douglas extended family. We must be the light. We must ignore the silliness from the political left about taking guns from law-abiding citizens, and we must promote the love of Christ, the love of fellow man, and the need to get around vulnerable, our most vulnerable, our children and those who can't defend themselves.
Absolutely. In fact, Jay, you may be aware of the case, and my memory will not serve me well, but it was some 6 or 8 years ago right down in Central Florida where a fifth grade school teacher was chided and challenged and reported and a recommendation for his to be terminated because they discovered he has a Bible on his desk. And ultimately, when there was a challenge to this, the courts ruled that that Bible had to be left in the desk drawer because, quote, God forbid, if a student were to inadvertently open that Bible, it could cause irreparable mental anguish and harm for the rest of his life. End quote. And so there's where we stand today because of judges like that that make decisions like that, and because of the so-called wall of separation of church that does not exist, as you know, in our Constitution. We have literally, as you used the term a moment ago so aptly so, we've sanitized society with the Word of God being banished and ruled out and ruled to be illegal. And as a result of that, what fills that vacuous void in the heart and the life of that child that's seeking answers and seemingly can find none because of the society in which we live in today? Jay, I find it interesting that so many that run for office, they simply go along with what is politically correct in that sense. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't say this because we have Jay Fant, Florida State Representative, on the phone speaking to us today. But I say it because I know him well enough to know his heart and his life says that God is first and country and family. And so may I say, ladies and gentlemen, and I am jumping to this, how would you say, statement, and I don't do it frivolously, but Jay's running for Attorney General in the state of Florida, and I find it interesting to find that one of his key opponents seems to think that somehow, some way, we can ban, we can destroy, we can simply eliminate the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, and somehow, some way, that will be okay. Jay, tell us something about that battle that you're faced with there and what you think we should do.
I will speak somewhat lightly on politics today only because of the gravity of what has happened at Stoneman Douglas, but you are correct, Dr. Youngblood, that my platform is certainly very assertive, as you mentioned, in stating that political correctness is a road to ruin. and that I am not afraid in my campaign to call out opponents, sources, anyone who advocates the liberal agenda of more government, less rights, including gun rights, less constitutional rights, less religious liberty. That's the platform of the liberals that has led to removing the Bible from schools. It has led to the removal of prayer from schools. And so what we have to do is fight that rear guard battle. But it is a battle that the Lord will have us win as long as we maintain our faith. I want to quickly highlight, as we learn more things about this massacre at Stoneman Douglas.
Yes, yes.
There are reports of a hero, an assistant football coach named Aaron. His last name may be pronounced Feist or Feast, but the reports are that he hurtled himself toward the assailant and took as many bullets as he possibly could. For those,
I understand, Jay, when you make that statement. I read that also, and I listened to the broadcast on it. There's one that made the statement that it's highly possible that because of his heroic act, he saved perhaps as many as 40 students. Now, only God could place it in the heart of a person to do that. And I'm so grateful, so thankful that those families now that have students that are alive as a result of that act of heroism, that it made possible for their sons and daughters to be alive today. Now, it's tragic for the others. But when you find in a scenario like that, with a massacre taking place, for one person to take a stand and basically say, I'm willing to lay down my life to protect others. And I'm immediately thrown back to the scripture where that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He laid down his life on Calvary, that through his death we might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm thankful for that. But Jim, I want to ask you a question. In light of all of what we know about the tragedy, in view of this seemingly reoccurrence across the nation, whether it's a school or a church or other venues, we're faced with a massively different society today than that which you or I were brought up in years gone by. So we're faced with a vastly different mindset. And I go back to the fact that I believe it's the underpinning of a lack, L-A-C-K, a lack of biblical truth being prevalent in the society in which we're living. And our young people, our sons and daughters and grandkids, are growing up in that vacuous void where there is a sense of hopelessness. In fact, it's a friend of the family that had adopted this young man from Long Island. They interviewed the lady in Long Island, and she said that she knew that the family had been having problems with this young man, and she said she thought that he was on some type heavy medication, and it's called psychotropic drugs. And some said this morning on early morning news that perhaps as much as 70% of Americans are on some type of psychotropic drug that is a mind-altering drug because of depression and a suicidal sense in his makeup. Speak to us on that as best you can from your personal knowledge and thoughts on that. I'm saddened to know that. I'm not shocked by it. We all recognize it. But what we're doing, if I can say this and then let you speak to it, what I see is trying to fill that void in that vacuum that is because of the lack of God and the lack of Christ and biblical teaching in our society, that it's going to be filled with something. And if not, there's going to be the numbness, the futility, the sense of hopelessness, and we are drugging our society today rather than meeting that need biblically. Speak to that issue and just your thoughts on that.
Yes, and Dr. Youngblood, your premise is correct. The general persecution in the pop culture of all things Christian, and including our every aspect of our Judeo-Christian ethic that our leaders and our founders and have been beholden to, and some of whom have not been Christians, but have respected the even the moral fiber of that Judeo-Christian ethic, as that has been diminished. What has been on the increase is the bombardment of, whether it's through the television or digital media, the messages and the atrocious images that you and I didn't have.
That's right.
That technology wasn't there. So you removed the Bible, and as society continues to pull children away from families and tries to promote school and government as the way to raise a human being, and all the failings of that, the emptiness occurs. And then the notion that solving problems is a prescription away, we all know that that is not the answer. Sure, that may be part of a solution for a critical situation, but ultimately we have to know who we are in God's eyes. Who we are exactly who God wanted us to be. And once we can recognize that he has a plan for us and that his son was sacrificed for us in our misdoings so that we can be close to God, that ought to inspire us to understand what our mission is in life and for our fellow man. It's why I'm in politics. It's why you pastor. It's why our listeners find what they do every day meaningful. This is a free country, Dr. Youngblood. We will and should never force convert anybody to our Christian beliefs. But to not be able to avail those who are searching with the answers that are found in the good book just makes the job all the much harder. And I do believe that when catastrophes and massacres like this happen at Stoneman Douglas, as much as the liberals want to constitute more government, more school control, I think it comes back to God and family. And what will heal, and there will be healing with those
yes.
who are suffering once they seek it, it will come through being on their knees and in supplication to the Lord, and it will take time. And we have to, as hard as it is, also pray for this individual who committed these crimes. There will be justice rendered. Genesis tells us that if man sheddeth blood by man, his blood will be shed, and our justice system provides for that. And that is the likely and appropriate outcome, but he has a soul that is still in need of repair. And as hard as it is, we must include that as we pray deeply for the victims and the horror and the unspeakable horror that is going in Broward County.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking with a Florida State Representative, Jay Fant. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that we have representatives, those leading us in government, whether it's state, local, or national, that loves the Lord, not ashamed of their relationship to Jesus Christ, willing to stand on the Word of God, and to be an advocate for the biblical truth in the realm of government today. Jay, let me ask you a question. In view of what we're seeing, especially in the school realm and in churches, of course, I've done several broadcasts about church security. I've done seminars on church security in Jacksonville and down in the Orlando area. There's a real need for our not being sitting ducks anymore. There's a real need to change this gun-free zone mentality for churches and for schools. What would your thought be? And I'm an advocate for this. I don't know whether you will or not. I've not talked with you personally about it. But to have armed security required by the state legislature in every state in America, and of course, you're a Florida state representative, from the standpoint of Florida governance, would you recommend, would you be an advocate for making sure that somehow, some way, we have a requirement for every school in every county that there be armed security, not just one rent-a-cop, not just one at one door. You got 3,000 students, Jay, in this school. It's an impossibility for one guard, wherever he may be standing, to protect the school. Give me some thoughts. Give our listeners some input on your position and your thoughts as to a resolution from the human standpoint for this, if you please, soft target zones.
Dr. Youngblood, it is time to make our schools the least likely place for successful massacre like this. And yes, that's going to involve arming the appropriate people to defend our children. And I, as you know, I'm a Second Amendment zealot. I believe that every citizen who so desires should carry and have a permit because it is your right. And in this day and age, if only the bad guys are the ones with the arms, we're going to continue to be victims. So let's defend ourselves. And to your point specifically, we can't have this happen again in our schools, not in Florida, not in the United States. It is time to rethink this animosity toward all things gun-related from the liberals and, sadly, from many on campus, because our children are vulnerable and we've just lost 17 at least in Broward County. So whether it's increased security or the decisions that school boards make through a legislative action, it is time. I should also add, there is a need for counseling for these young people that is clearly missing. We can't hope, we can't just hope that our students will wander into a church and ask the right questions to the right people. We have to be in the schools. We need to mission to the schools.
Yes.
And yes, the gospel needs to be part of that message. It's not the major part of that message, because their students, the depression is up, the suicide is up, and we are the believers. We need to use our hands and our feet to move to those who are hurting. It is our call. It is our mission.
Absolutely. Jay, we've got about 1 minute. This 1 minute, let me ask a question. From the legislative standpoint, from the law standpoint of the state of Florida, is there anything that precludes local municipalities, local school boards, is anything from the state level that precludes the local school board from initiating a policy to allow armed security at all of our schools?
Before I speak definitively on that, I would encourage our municipalities and our counties to go ahead and take action to increase security. If we in the legislature find that there is something that runs afoul of something on the books, we will seek to take care of that as quickly as possible.
Jay, listen, I appreciate you today, and God bless you. We're praying for you and for your candidacy for Attorney General for the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, pray for Jay Fant. Pray that God would bless and give victory in his run and continue to bless him as he represents us in Tallahassee. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. God bless you. We're looking forward to reaching again and speaking again tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.